This is Ms. G bringing you Telling Tales here at KTO 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. And I am happy to say I have a new book, a new Grimm's Fairy Tale book. So I'll give you a chance to get settled, and I'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hello again, this is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Telling Tales. And tonight's first story from the Grimm brothers, or the brothers Grimm, is The Singing Springing Lark. Once upon a time, there was a man who was about to go on a long journey. And right before his departure, he asked his three daughters what he should bring back to them. The oldest wanted pearls, the second diamonds, but the third said, "Dear father, I'd like to have a singing, springing lark." "All right," said the father, "if I can get one, you shall have it." So he kissed all three daughters goodbye and went on his way. When the time came for his return journey, he had purchased pearls and diamonds for the two oldest, but even though he had looked all over, he had not been able to find the singing, springing lark for his youngest daughter. He was particularly sorry about that because she was his favorite. In the meantime, his way took him through a forest in the middle of which he discovered a magnificent castle. Near the castle was a tree, and way on top of this tree he saw a lark singing and springing about. "Well, you've come just at the right time," he said, quite pleased, and he ordered his servant to climb the tree and catch the little bird. But when the servant went over to the tree, a lion jumped out from under it, shook himself, and roared so ferociously that the leaves on the trees trembled. "If anyone tries to steal my singing, springing lark," he cried, "I'll eat him up." "I didn't know that the bird belonged to you," said the man. "I'll make up for my trespassing and give you a great deal of gold, if only you'll spare my life." "Nothing can save you," said the lion, "unless you promise to give me the first thing you meet when you get home. If you agree, then I'll not only grant you your life, but I'll also give you the bird for your daughter." At first the man refused and said, "That could be my youngest daughter. She loves me most of all and always runs to meet me when I return home." But the servant was very scared of the lion and said, "It doesn't always have to be your daughter. Maybe it'll be a cat or a dog." The man let himself be persuaded and took the singing, springing lark. Then he promised the lion he would give him the first thing that met him when he got home. Upon reaching his house, he walked inside, and the first thing that met him was none other than his youngest and dearest daughter. She came running up to him, threw her arms around him, and kissed him. When she saw that he had brought her a singing, springing lark, she was overcome with joy. But her father could not rejoice and began to cry. "My dearest child," he said, "I've had to pay a high price for this bird. In exchange, I was compelled to promise you to a wild lion, and when he gets you, he'll tear you to pieces and eat you up." Then he went on to tell her exactly how everything had happened and begged her not to go there, no matter what the consequences might be. Yet she consoled him and said, "Dearest father, if you've made a promise, you must keep it. I'll go there, and once I've made the lion nice and tame, I'll be back here safe and sound." The next morning, she had her father show her the way. Then she took leave of him and walked calmly into the forest. Now, it turned out that the lion was actually an enchanted prince. During the day, he and his men were lions, and during the night, they assumed their true human form. When she arrived there, she was welcomed in a friendly way, and they conducted her to the castle. When night came, the lion became a handsome man, and the wedding was celebrated in splendor. They lived happily together by remaining awake at night and asleep during the day. One day he came to her and said, "Tomorrow there will be a celebration at your father's house since your oldest sister is to be married. If you wish to attend, my lions will escort you there. She replied that yes, she would very much like to see her father again, and she went there accompanied by the lions. There was great rejoicing when she arrived, for they all had believed that she had been torn to pieces by the lions and had been long dead. But she told them what a handsome husband she had and how well off she was. She stayed with them just as long as the wedding celebration lasted. Then she went back to the forest. When the second daughter was about to be married, she was again invited to the wedding, but this time she said to the lion, "I don't want to go without you." However, the lion said it would be too dangerous for him because he would be changed into a dove and have to fly about with the doves for 7 years if the ray of a burning candle were to fall upon him. "Please come with me," she said. "I'll be sure to take good care of you and protect you from the light." So they went off together and took their small child with them. Once there, she had a hall built for him, so strong and thick that not a single ray of light could penetrate it. That was the place where he was to sit when the wedding candles were lit. However, its door was made out of green wood, and it split and developed a crack that nobody saw. The wedding was celebrated in splendor, but when the wedding procession with all the candles and torches came back from church and passed by the hall, a ray about the width of a hair fell upon the prince, and he was instantly transformed. When his wife entered the hall to look for him, she could only find a white dove sitting there, and he said to her, "For 7 years I shall have to fly about the world, but for every 7 steps you take, I shall leave a drop of red blood and a little white feather to show you the way. And if you follow the traces, you'll be able to set me free." Then the dove flew out the door, and she followed him. At every 7 step she took, a drop of blood and a little white feather would fall and show her the way. Thus she went farther and farther into the wide world and never looked about or stopped until the 7 years were almost up. She was looking forward to that and thought they would soon be free, but they were still quite far from their goal. Once as she was moving along, she failed to find any other feathers or drops of blood, and when she raised her head, the dove had also vanished. "I won't be able to get help from a mortal," she thought. And so she climbed up to the sun and said to her, "You shine into every nook and cranny. Is there any chance that you've seen a white dove flying around?" "No," said the sun, "I haven't. But I'll give you a little casket. Just open it when your need is greatest." She thanked the sun and continued on her way until the moon came out to shine in the evening. "You shine the whole night through and on all the fields and meadows. Is there any chance that you've seen a white dove flying around?" "No," said the moon, "I haven't. But I'll give you an egg. Just crack it open when your need is greatest." She thanked the moon and went farther in until the night wind stirred and started to blow at her. "You blow over every tree and under every leaf. Is there any chance that you've seen a white dove flying around?" "No," said the night wind, "I haven't. But I'll ask the other three winds, perhaps they've seen one." The east wind and the west wind came and reported that they had not seen a thing, but the south wind said, "I've seen the white dove. It's flown to the Red Sea and has become a lion again, for the 7 years are over. The lion's now in the midst of a fight with a dragon that's really an enchanted princess." Then the night wind said to her, "Here's what I would advise you to do. Go to the Red Sea, where you'll find some tall reeds growing along the shore. Then cut them until you come to the 11th one, which you're to cut off and use to strike the dragon. That done, the lion will be able to conquer the dragon, and both will regain their human form. After that, look around, and you'll see the griffin sitting by the Red Sea. Get on its back with your beloved, and the griffin will carry you home across the sea. Now here's a nut for you. When you cross over the middle of the sea, let it drop. A nut tree will instantly sprout up out of the water, and the griffin will be able to rest on it. If he can't rest there, he won't be strong enough to carry you both across the sea. So if you forget to drop the nut into the sea, he'll let you fall into the water. She went there and found everything as the night wind had said. She counted the reeds by the sea, cut off the 11th, and struck the dragon with it. whereupon the lion conquered the dragon, and both immediately regained their human form. But when the princess, who had previously been a dragon, was set free from the magic spell, she picked the prince up in her arms, got on the griffin, and carried him off with her. So the poor maiden, who had journeyed so far, stood alone and forsaken again, and sat down to cry. Eventually she took heart and said, "I'll keep going as far as the wind blows, and so long as the cock crows, until I find him." And off she went and wandered a long, long way, until she came to the castle where the two were living together. Then she heard that their wedding celebration was soon to take place. "God will still come to my aid," she remarked, as she opened the little casket that the sun had given her. There she found a dress as radiant as the sun itself. She took it out, put it on, and went up to the castle. Everyone at the court and the bride herself could not believe their eyes. The bride liked the dress so much she thought it would be nice to have for her wedding and asked if she could buy it. "Not for money or property," she answered, "but for flesh and blood." The bride asked her what she meant by that, and she responded, "Let me sleep one night in the bridegroom's room." The bride did not want to let her, but she also wanted the dress very much. Finally, she agreed, but the bridegroom's servant was obliged to give him a sleeping potion. That night, when the prince was asleep, she was led into his room, sat down in his bed, and said, "I followed you for 7 years. I went to the sun, the moon, and the four winds to find out where you were. I helped you conquer the dragon. Are you going to forget me forever?" But the prince slept so soundly that it merely seemed to him as if the wind were whispering in the firs. When morning came, she was led out again and had to give up her golden dress. Since her ploy had not been of much use, she was quite sad and went out to a meadow where she sat down and wept. But as she was sitting there, she remembered the egg that the moon had given her. She cracked it open, and a hen with 12 chicks came out, all in gold. The peeping chicks scampered about and then crawled under the mother's hen's wings. There was not a lovelier sight to see in the world. Shortly after that, she stood up and drove them ahead of her over the meadow until they came within sight of the bride, who saw them from her window. She liked the little chicks so much that she came right down and asked if she could buy them. "Not with money or possessions, but for flesh and blood. Let me sleep another night in the bridegroom's room." The bride agreed and wanted to trick her as she had done the night before, but when the prince went to bed, he asked the servant what had caused all the murmuring and rustling during the night. And the servant told him everything, that he had been compelled to give him a sleeping potion because a poor girl had secretly slept in his room, that he was supposed to give him another one that night. "Dump the drink by the side of my bed," said the prince. At night the maiden was led in again, and when she began to talk about her sad plight, he immediately recognized his dear wife by her voice, jumped up, and exclaimed, "Now I'm really free from this spell. It was all like a dream. The strange princess had cast a spell over me and made me forget you, but God has delivered me from the spell just in time." That night they left the castle in secret, for they were afraid of the princess's father, who was a sorcerer. They got on the griffin, who carried them over the Red Sea, and when they were in the middle, she let the nut drop. Immediately a big nut tree sprouted, and the griffin was able to rest there. Then he carried them home, where they found their child, who had grown tall and handsome. From then on, they lived happily until their death. I hope you enjoyed that Brothers Grimm story, The Singing Springing Lark. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G., and I'll be right back with another story. Stay tuned. Thank you. And this is Ms. G again, bringing you Telling Tales here at KTO 104.3 in Juneau. I hope you liked that last Brothers Grimm story. I have another one titled The Two King's Children. Once upon a time, there was a king who had a little boy, and according to the constellation of the stars, it was predicted that he would be killed by a stag when he turned 16. One day, when he had reached that age, the huntsmen were out hunting with him in the forest, but the prince got separated from them. Suddenly, he saw a big stag and kept trying to shoot it without much success. Finally, the stag ran away and led him on a chase until they were out of the forest. All at once, a big, lanky man was standing there instead of the stag and said, "Well, it's a good thing I've got you now." "I wore out 6 pairs of glass gates chasing after you and could never catch you." He took the prince with him and dragged him across a large lake toward a big royal castle. Once there, the prince had to sit down at a table and eat something with the man. After they had eaten together, the king said, "I've got 3 daughters, and I want you to watch over the oldest one for me from 9 in the evening until 6 in the morning. Each time the clock strikes the hour, I shall come and call you. If you don't answer me, you'll be put to death in the morning. However, if you answer me, you shall have my daughter for your wife." When the young people went up to the bedchamber, there was a stone statue of St. Christopher standing there, and the king's daughter said to him, "My father will come at 9 o'clock in every hour until the clock strikes 6. If he asks anything, I want you to answer him in place of the prince." The stone St. Christopher nodded his head very fast, then more and more slowly until he finally came to a stop. The next morning, the king said to the young prince, "You've done well, but I can't give you my daughter. Now I want you to watch over my 2nd daughter. Then I'll consider giving you my oldest daughter for your wife. I shall come every hour on the hour, and when I call, you must answer me. If you don't answer, your blood will flow." The prince went with the 2nd daughter up to the bedchamber, where there was a stone statue of St. Christopher, much larger than the first. And the king's daughter said to him, "If my father asks a question, I want you to answer." The big stone St. Christopher nodded his head very fast, then more and more slowly until he came to a stop. The prince lay down on the threshold, put his hand under his head, and went to sleep. The next morning the king said to him, "You've done well, but I can't give you my daughter. Now I want you to watch over my youngest daughter. Then I'll consider giving you the 2nd for your wife. I shall come every hour, and when I call, answer me. If you don't answer me when I call, your blood will flow." Again the prince went with the youngest daughter up to the bedchamber, and there stood a St. Christopher, much bigger and taller than the other two. The king's daughter said to him, "If my father calls, I want you to answer." The big, tall St. Christopher nodded his head for a good half hour before he came to a stop, and the prince lay down on the threshold and fell asleep. The next morning, the king said, "Indeed, you kept watch very well, but I can't give you my daughter yet. Now I've got a very large forest, and if you cut it down for me between 6 this morning and 6 this evening, I'll consider giving her to you." The king gave him a glass axe, a glass wedge, and a glass mattock. When the prince reached the forest, he began chopping away, and the axe broke in two. Then he took the wedge and began hitting it with the mattock, but it splintered into tiny pieces the size of grains of sand. This made the prince very downcast, for he thought he would now have to die, so he sat down and wept. At noon, the king said, "One of you girls must bring him something to eat." "No," said the oldest, "we won't bring him anything. Let the one he watched over last night take him something." So the youngest daughter had to go and bring him something to eat. When she reached the forest, she asked him how everything was going. "Oh," he said, "things are going very badly." She told him to come over to her and have a little something to eat. "No," he responded, "I can't, for I've got to die, and I don't want to eat any more." She spoke kindly to him and implored him to try. So he went over to her and ate something. After he had eaten, she said, "Now I'll louse you a little, and then you'll feel much better." When she loused him, he became so tired that he fell asleep. Then she took her kerchief, made a knot in it, and struck the ground 3 times with it. "Workers, come out!" she cried. Suddenly, numerous gnomes appeared from beneath the earth and asked the princess what her command was. "In 3 hours' time," she said, "this great forest must be cut down and the wood stacked in piles." The gnomes went and called all their relatives to come out and help them with the work. Then they started, and within 3 hours everything was finished, and they went and reported to the king's daughter. Once again she took out her white kerchief and said, "Workers, go home!" And they all vanished on the spot. When the prince woke up, he was very happy, and she said, "When the clock strikes 6, you're to go home." He did as she had said, and the king asked him, "Have you cut down the whole forest?" "Yes," said the prince. When they were sitting at the table, the king said, "I can't give you my daughter for your wife yet. You must first do something else." The prince asked what he had to do. "I have a very large pond," said the king. "You must go there tomorrow morning and clean it out so that it glistens like a mirror, and there must be all kinds of fish in it." The next morning, the king gave him a glass scoop and said, "You must be finished with the pond by 6 o'clock. The prince departed, and when he reached the pond, he stuck the scoop into the muck and the end broke off. Then he tried a pickaxe, but it broke as well and he became discouraged. At noon, the youngest daughter brought him something to eat and asked him how everything was going. The prince said that things were going very badly and he was bound to lose his head. "All the tools broke apart on me again." "Oh," she said, "you should come and eat something first, then you'll feel much better." "No," he said, "I can't eat. I feel too sad." But she spoke so kindly to him that he finally had to come and eat something. Once again, she loused him, and he fell asleep. She took her kerchief once more, tied a knot in it, and struck the ground 3 times with it. "Workers, come out!" she cried. Suddenly, numerous gnomes appeared and asked what she desired. "In 3 hours' time, the pond must be all cleaned up and must shine so brightly that you can see your own reflection in it. Then you must fill it with all kinds of fish." The gnomes went off and called all their relatives to come and help them. They finished everything in 2 hours, returned to the king's daughter, and reported, "We've done what you commanded." Once again, she took her kerchief and struck the ground 3 times. "Workers, go home!" And they all vanished on the spot. When the prince woke up, the pond was finished, and just as the king's daughter was about to leave him, she told him to go home at 6 o'clock. When he got there, the king asked, "Have you finished the pond?" "Yes," said the prince, "everything's fine." When they were sitting at the table again, the king said, "Indeed, you finished the pond, but I can't give you my daughter yet. You must first do one more thing." "What's that?" asked the prince. "I've got a big mountain with nothing on it but thorn bushes. I want them all cut down, and then you must build the most magnificent castle imaginable, and all the proper furnishings must be in it." When the prince got up the next morning, the king gave him a glass axe and glass drill to take with him and told him that he had to be finished by 6 o'clock. As the prince began to chop the first thorn bush with the axe, it broke into little pieces that flew all around him. And the drill also turned out to be useless. Then he became very dejected and waited to see if his beloved would come again and help him out of this desperate situation. At noon she came and brought him something to eat. He went to meet her and told her everything that had happened. Then he ate something, let her louse him, and fell asleep. Once again she took out her kerchief and struck the ground with it 3 times. "Workers, come out!" she cried. Numerous gnomes again appeared and asked what she desired. "In 3 hours' time," she said, "you must cut down all the thorn bushes and build the most magnificent castle imaginable on the mountain, and all the proper furnishings must be in it." They went off and called all their relatives to come and help them, and when the time was up, everything was finished. Then they went and reported to the king's daughter, whereupon she took the kerchief and struck the ground 3 times with it. "Workers, go home," she said, and they all vanished on the spot. When the prince woke and saw everything, he was as happy as a bird in the air. Since the clock had just struck 6, they went home together, and the king asked, "Is the castle finished now?" "Yes," said the prince. When they were sitting at the table, the king said, "I can't give you my youngest daughter until the 2 oldest are married." The prince and the king's daughter were very sad, and the prince did not know what to do. Then one night he went to the king's daughter, and they ran away together. After they had gone a short distance, the daughter looked around and saw her father pursuing them. "Oh," she said, "what shall we do? My father's after us, and he'll soon catch up." "Wait, I'll turn you into a rose bush and myself into a rose, and I'll protect myself by hiding in the middle of the bush." When the father reached a spot, there was a rose bush with a rose standing there. When he tried to pluck the rose, the thorns pricked his fingers, so he had to return home. His wife asked him why he had not brought back the couple. He told her he had almost caught them, but then had lost sight of them and had found only a rose bush and a rose where he had thought they were. "If you had only plucked the rose," the queen said, "the bush would have come along." So he went away again to fetch the rose. In the meantime, the two had made their way far over some fields, and the king had to run after them. Once again, the daughter looked around and saw her father coming after them. "Oh," she said, "what should we do now?" "Wait, I'll turn you into a church and myself into a pastor. Then I'll stand in the pulpit and preach." When the king reached the spot, a church was standing there and a pastor was preaching in the pulpit. So he listened to the sermon and returned home. The queen asked him why he had failed to bring back the couple with him, and he replied, "I ran after them a long time, and just as I thought I had caught up with them, I came upon a church with a pastor preaching in the pulpit." "You should have taken the pastor with you," said his wife. "The church would have come along. It's no use sending you anymore. I have to go myself." After she had gone a long way and saw the two from afar, the king's daughter looked around and saw her mother coming. "We've run out of luck now," she said. "My mother herself is coming." "Wait, I'll turn you into a pond and myself into a fish." When the mother reached the spot, there was a large pond and a fish leaping about in the middle of it. The fish stuck its head out of the water, looked around, and it was as merry as could be. The mother tried very hard to catch the fish, but she was unable to land it. Then she got so angry that she drank the entire pond dry just to catch the fish. However, she became so sick that she had to spit out the water, and she vomited the entire pond out again. "It's plain to me that I'm helpless against you." So she made her peace and asked them to return with her, which they did. Now the queen gave her daughter 3 walnuts and said, "These will help you in your greatest need." Then the young couple set off again. After they had walked for 10 hours, they had approached the castle where the prince came from, and nearby was a village. When they arrived in the village, the prince said, "Stay here, my dearest. I'll go up to the castle first and then come back to fetch you with a carriage and servants." When he got to the castle, everyone was happy to see him again. He told them he had a bride who was now in the village, and he wanted to go fetch her in a carriage. They harnessed the carriage right away, and several servants climbed on back. Just as the prince was about to get in, his mother gave him a kiss, and he forgot everything that had happened and everything he wanted to do. His mother then ordered them to unharness the carriage, and they all went back into the castle. Meanwhile, the king's daughter sat in the village and waited and waited. She thought the prince would come and fetch her, but no one came. Finally, she hired herself out at the mill that belonged to the castle. She had to sit by the river every afternoon and wash the pots and jars. Once the queen came out of the castle and took a walk along the river. When she saw the beautiful maiden, she said, "What a lovely girl. She's quite appealing." Then everyone around her took a look, but nobody recognized her. The king's daughter served the miller as maid honestly and faithfully for a long time. Meanwhile, the queen had found a wife for her son, and she came from a country far away. When the bride arrived, they were to be married right away, and crowds of people gathered to see the event, and the maid asked the miller if she might go and watch too. "Go right along," said the miller. Before she left, she cracked open one of the 3 walnuts and found a beautiful dress inside. She put it on, wore it to the church, and stood near the altar. All at once, the bride and bridegroom arrived and sat down in front of the altar. When the pastor was about to bless them, the bride looked to one side and saw the maid dressed as a lady standing there. And she stood up and said that she would not marry until she had a dress as beautiful as the lady's. So they returned home and sent servants to ask the lady if she would sell the dress. No, she told them, she would not sell it, but they might be able to earn it. They asked her what they would have to do, and she said that they could have the dress if she could sleep outside the prince's door that night. They said yes, she could do that, but the servants were ordered to give the prince a sleeping potion. The king's daughter lay down on the threshold and whimpered all night. She had had the forest cut down for him. She had had the pond cleaned up for him. She had had the castle built for him. She had turned him into a rose bush and a church and finally a pond, and yet he had forgotten her so quickly. The prince did not hear a thing, but her cries woke the servants, who listened but did not know what to make of it all. When they got up the next morning, the bride put on the dress and went to the church with the bridegroom. Meanwhile, the beautiful maid opened the second wallet, and she found a dress more splendid than the first, put it on, and wore it to the church where she stood near the altar. Then everything happened as on the previous day. Once again, the maid lay down in front of the prince's door. But this time the servants did not give the prince a sleeping potion, but something to keep him awake, and he went to bed. The miller's maid whimpered once more, as she had before, and told him about all the things she had done for him. The prince heard it all and became very sad, for he remembered everything that had happened. He wanted to go to her right then and there, but his mother had locked the door. However, the next morning he went straight to his beloved and told her what had happened and begged her not to be angry with him for having forgotten her for so long. Then the king's daughter opened the third walnut and found a dress that was even more beautiful than the other two. She put it on and went to the church with her bridegroom. Groups of children gathered around them and gave them flowers and placed colored ribbons at their feet. After they were blessed at the wedding, they had a merry celebration, but the false mother and false bride were sent away, and the lips are still warm on the last person who told this tale. That was The Two King's Children from the Brothers Grimm. Hope you enjoyed that story. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G. And until next time, good night.